Radio News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Our guest today, New Hampshire Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson, was born more than 60 years ago in rural Kentucky to Victor and Imogene Robinson. They were poor sharecroppers who worked the local tobacco farms. The family lived in a house with no indoor plumbing or running water. And then, adding to their difficulties, baby Gene was badly injured during birth and was not expected to live, or if he survived, to walk or talk. But talk he did. In fact, today, Gene Robinson's known as an international speaker and activist for gay rights. But his day job has long been with the Episcopal Church. He was ordained 30 years ago and worked for many years at the New Hampshire Diocese as the bishop's assistant. He was catapulted to fame when Granite State Episcopalians elected him bishop in 2003, making him the first openly gay leader of a diocese and creating a huge split within the worldwide Anglican Church. Now, as he prepares to step down at the end of this year, Robinson's written a book telling some of his story, but also addressing one of the top social issues of our time, same-sex marriage. It's a personal topic for Robinson, who married his longtime partner 2 years ago, but it's also a theological concern. And in the book, he delves into the biblical arguments surrounding same-sex couples, as well as those questions he says have been asked him hundreds of times, from "Doesn't the Bible condemn homosexuality?" to "Why aren't civil unions enough?" The book is titled God Believes in Love, and today in The Exchange, Bishop Robinson is with us. We'd like to hear from you, too. What thoughts and questions do you have about some of the arguments we often hear, pro and con, surrounding same-sex marriage? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can send us a short email if you'd like. exchange@nhpr.org is the address. And Bishop Robinson, welcome back.
Thanks so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, when this issue of same-sex marriage comes up, some supporters approach it from a church and state issue, saying, look, the church shouldn't get involved in this. This is a matter of state law and federal law. These, again, are from people who support same-sex marriage. They don't want churches involved. Let the churches do what they want. Why did you decide in this book, Bishop Robinson, to go the opposite route and defend gay marriage from a theological point of view?
Well, I do believe the separation of church and state is really important, and religious organizations of whatever ilk have no reason in the world to worry about civil marriage for gay and lesbian couples, because no religious person or leader will ever have to condone or authorize such a thing. But the fact remains, religion is at the center of this debate. I mean, even non-religious people use religious arguments against us. And the Bible, at least at first look, appears to condemn it. And I argue in the book why it's the case that actually Scripture does not address the questions we're asking today, which are about couples who want to make a lifelong, monogamous, faithful commitment to one another.
So we've talked a lot over the years, Bishop Robinson, about the impact of your election on the worldwide church, your work here on the ground in New Hampshire, and I want to get into those theological arguments in just a minute. But again, on the book, you know, you've said, hey, I want to be the New Hampshire bishop. I don't want to be known as the gay bishop. So why write this book? Why go out on a limb here? Why not just focus on being the New Hampshire bishop?
You know, early on, I really resisted this moniker of being the gay bishop.
Right, I remember
that. I just
that.
Wanted to be a good bishop. And I'd like to think I have been. But about 2 years in, I realized that was a very selfish thing of me, that I had been given this remarkable opportunity to speak for and about the gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. And for me to turn my back on those opportunities, just it just seemed too self-centered, and that I'd been given this opportunity. And what I wanted to be was the best steward of that opportunity that I could be. At the same time, I'll have to say, New Hampshire and the Diocese of New Hampshire has been my saving grace, because this is the one place in the world I'm not the gay bishop. I'm just the bishop. So oddly enough, I haven't spoken about gay issues here in New Hampshire hardly at all. And yet when I leave the state, I have this other role. So I live this kind of bifurcated life where here I'm just the bishop doing the things that a bishop does every day and loving my diocese. And then when I leave the state, I'm this other thing.
You describe the book, Bishop Robinson, as a conversation, and it's definitely written in a conversational style. A conversation with who, though? Who are you aiming to talk to with this book?
Well, I tried to imagine a conversation with someone who would probably describe themselves as being tolerant of gay people, but are certainly not ready to go all the way to marriage. And so I wanted to write a book that would try to walk them through the various concerns that they have. Each chapter is based on a question that I get all the time, and try to get to the end and have someone ready to advocate for gay marriage. But I also wrote it for advocates who might need a kind of script, because they're going to be asked these same questions by a family member who doesn't agree, or by a neighbor or a coworker or a former classmate. It's also, I think, a book that if you're feeling a little uncomfortable about this and you get invited to a gay marriage, or you're getting married yourself as a gay person, and you've got Aunt Tilly who really kind of wants to come to the wedding but is just feeling a little funny about it. And so I think there are lots of uses for the book. And let's remember that even when we achieve marriage equality, the work still goes on. Right. I mean, when we got Jim Crow laws off the books in the 60s, it didn't mean racism went away, or just because we have Title IX funding for women's sports certainly doesn't mean sexism has gone away. And long after we achieve our full and equal civil rights, there will be hearts and minds to win on this issue.
Do you think the book will win hearts and minds? I mean, I hear you that it's a script for people who may be getting married in a same-sex marriage and want to answer Aunt Tilly's questions. But do you think you'll actually change somebody's mind with this book?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, we have a sitting president who's the first president ever to acknowledge marriage equality. And what he said about himself was that he had evolved on this issue. And actually, I think that's the way we all learn. We evolve a little bit at a time. And then you add in people's personal experience of someone gay, and they want to find answers, because all the things they've been told, primarily by religious people, all the horrible things about gay people, they know not to be true of the gay people they know. And so I think people are hungry for a reasonable approach, both religious and civil, about how to incorporate this into our culture. And, you know, very interestingly, I recently spoke at a probably the most preeminent conservative evangelical seminary in Pasadena, California, the Fuller Seminary. And so I'm with 175 really conservative Christians, and they were so hungry for a way forward. They have gay and lesbian friends, right? And they want to do this, but they can't do it without dealing with the scripture, without dealing with the religious aspects. And so I think even they are looking to evolve on this issue.
Well, and picking up exactly on what you just said, Bishop Robinson, that struggle that people have with the image of gay people in the Old Testament versus, you know, the lovely people that they may know and love and maybe family members. And you write in the book about that fundamental struggle for you when you were a teenager. You were taught that the Bible said homosexuality is wrong. End of story. No questions. And then here you are. You're this very spiritual young man. You love God. You love the church. You write, Bishop Robinson, that this dilemma for you was almost unbearable. I'm quoting now. Hardly a minute went by that I didn't loathe myself. Wow.
Oh, it is nothing less dramatic than that. And let me tell you, despite all the progress we've made, I get 4 or 5, 6 emails a week from some kid in Podunk, Idaho, who thinks they are the only person who has ever felt this way. And they hear about me, and they want someone else in the world to know that this is true for them, too.
What did that loathing feel like? I mean, that's such a powerful word.
Oh, you have no idea. I mean, there's this kind of self-alienation. So when you first start feeling it, you almost simultaneously know that you have to keep it from the world. And the people you have to most keep it from are your family. I mean, let's remember, about 40% of all the homeless teenagers in America are LGBT kids who have been kicked out of their homes when they came out. So, I mean, this is an issue that is still alive today. But, think of all the negative messages coming your way, and you're a teenager, and what you want to do is fit in, right? Not stick out. You don't want to be different. You want to blend in with your peers. And so you begin this bifurcated life where there's the you that you show the world in order to be acceptable, and the you that generally no one else knows about. It's a horrifying thing. And I mean, let's say you're in a black family and someone calls you the N-word. Well, your parents understand that. They can help you through that. They've lived through that. But for a gay kid coming out to his or her parents, it is a frightening possibility that you'll be thrown out of the home.
Well, and the bifurcated life for you was not just between you and your parents, perhaps, but you and your God.
Absolutely. The hardest part about coming out is coming out to yourself, because you have absorbed all the same images and negative messages that everyone else has. So, for me, I was thrown into this situation where, on the one hand, I'm hearing about a God who loves me, and on the other hand, I'm getting messages that this is the one thing God doesn't love. This is an abomination, and kids still pick this up. I was right here in Concord with a group of teenagers one night. Not a single one of them from a household of faith, and every one of them knew the word abomination, and every one of them thought that's what God thought of them. I mean, it's literally in the air we breathe.
Well, and that's from Leviticus, and
that's
you mentioned
right.
That in the book. And after a super short break, Bishop Robinson, we'll dive into some of the theological arguments that you pick at in this book. Again, the title is God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage. The author is the Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire, Gene Robinson. After a short break, we'll start taking your calls. So join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Emails are welcome, exchange@nhpr.org. And we'll be back in a minute.
My name's Matt Petersons, and I'm from Pembroke, New Hampshire. I just really wanted to give back to an organization that I believed in, that I trusted, and that was providing good quality stuff. I felt the responsibility to give to something that I liked and not to see it go off the air. And I wanted to give back to NHPR. I felt some responsibility and acted upon that. I went online, contributed. I was relieved. Now, when I listen to the pledge drives, I can say, well, I'm contributing to ending these.
So support New Hampshire Public Radio by giving us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. We're going back to the exchange and this great conversation with Bishop Gene Robinson in just a few minutes. But first, a quick check on our short winter fund drive. Keith Shields, executive producer for the exchange, with Sarah Ashworth, our news manager. And, you know, think about what Matt Peterson just said. I mean, there are many things that you maybe contribute to in your community. Maybe you buy local or you support local merchants, you're a member of your library or your historical society. NHPR is an important community institution as well, one that you're passionate about. So how about supporting us the same way that you support all those other communities that are important to you as well? So go online to nhpr.org or make a donation by calling 1-888-805-6477.
And today is the best day to make the donation, because you'll be entered in today's drawing for 2 iPad minis. That's today's drawing. You have to make a pledge by 7 o'clock tonight to be entered in that drawing. But don't hesitate. Do it now. Make that pledge this morning. Show your support for the program, The Exchange. You'll receive, if you win the drawing, you'll receive 1 white and 1 black mini iPad. When you make a gift to NHPR today, it's day 11 of our 12 days of drawings. And this is a big one today, day 11. 7 is big for these two iPad minis. Make your pledge online at nhpr.org, or you can call 1-888-805-6477.
You know, there are other really great talk shows on our air, like Diane Rehm and Talk of the Nation, but I always love to tell everybody that The Exchange is unique because we're the one time during the broadcast day where New Hampshire people talk about New Hampshire issues, talk about a lot of the issues that the reporters that Sarah manages, you know, those stories that they report on, we talk about them. We get your response from them. You know, we talk about what's going on in the State House, what's going on in economics or education or the environment. Or we talk to big figures in New Hampshire, congressmen or senators or commissioners or someone like Bishop Gene Robinson. We know that because this is important to you. We want to hear what you have to say on these issues, not just what we have to say. And that's what The Exchange does. So we're asking you to support us. Show like The Exchange by giving us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
As Keith said, as a listener of The Exchange, you're also a participant of The Exchange. And if you travel around the country and you tune into public radio stations all over the nation, you'll find that not every station has an exchange. Not every station is so lucky and so well-staffed to be able to put together a daily call-in program like The Exchange. This is special here at NHPR. And it's worth your support today. When you do support us, we are extremely careful with our budget here at NHPR because the money underlying that budget is from you, from our neighbors, from our local businesses around the state. And we spend the money very responsibly, especially in tough economic times like we've been experiencing lately. But to bring you programs like The Exchange, it costs us a lot of money. Production costs money. Thorough research requires time, and it costs money as well. We're not asking you to pick up the entire tab today. We're just asking you to do your share and do your part. Help bring The Exchange to you every day on the air. Make a pledge at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
How about a gift of $180? We would thank you with the NHPR fleece blanket. You know, Sarah woke up this morning. It was pretty cold out there.
It was chilly.
And there's nothing like a fleece blanket to keep you warm. And this is a great one. It's blue. It's got the NHPR logo embroidered on it. And it could be yours for $180. So just think about it. Whether it's the weekends or a day off of work, or maybe you're just sort of home during the morning, you could curl up with your fleece blanket, drink a cup of warm cocoa or coffee, and listen to your favorite NHPR programs. 1-888-805-6477.
You can make your end-of-year tax-deductible contribution today, as Keith said, by calling 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org. You'll be entered in today's drawing. It's a big one for two iPad minis, but you have to make a pledge to be entered. You can do that right now at nhpr.org, and thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and the NEEP Network Organizations, a statewide leader assisting students and parents planning for college. Information at nhheaf.org. From Atlantic Urology Associates of Portsmouth and Exeter, providing compassionate care for the urological needs of patients in the Seacoast region, 431-3388, the Art of Wellness. And from the Fenton Family Dealerships, Toyota, Volvo, Honda, Subaru, and Hyundai of Keene, treating the needs of each individual customer with singular concern, FentonDealerships.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, New Hampshire Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson is here talking about his brand new book, God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage. It looks at some of the key questions that often come up in this conversation, from doesn't the Bible condemn homosexuality to why aren't civil unions enough? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. What are your thoughts or questions about some of the arguments that we often hear, pro and con, surrounding same-sex marriage? Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Bishop Robinson, let's go right to our callers now. And Rich is calling from Melvin Village. Hi, Rich. Go ahead. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Laura. Good morning, Bishop Robinson.
Good morning.
I'm an evangelical Christian, and I just have a real problem with gay marriage is all about and what homosexuality is. And in Romans, it says, because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural relations. In the same way, the man also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with the lusts for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received for themselves the penalty of perversion. Now, he calls that perversion. And then over in Thessalonians 2, it says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe in the lie and so that they will be condemned, and who have not believed in the truth have not delighted in or have delighted in wickedness. That's where I have a problem with homosexuality and especially gay marriage. And being a bishop, boy, you're talking to a lot of people, and I just can't imagine. Wow.
Well, and Rich, thanks for calling, because you spend a lot of time, I would say maybe even a third of this book, is addressing what Rich is talking about. So, Rich, thank you. These biblical passages, Leviticus, Romans, and so forth, do seem to pretty clearly say gay marriage, same-sex relationships are wrong.
Yeah, Rich, thank you so much. I so honor your taking Scripture seriously, as I do. As a committed Christian, I never want to go around the Scriptures. I always want to go right straight to them and through them. I think it's important to understand that all of Scripture has to be taken in context. And we have to ask the question, what was the context when those words were written? And is our context any different? St. Paul has a couple of mentions that are used to refute this acceptance of homosexuality. But let's remember, Paul is probably referring to a practice that was widely known to him in Roman and Greek culture, which is an older man taking a younger man under his wing, using him sexually. Well, no one is arguing for that. I'm as opposed to that as Paul would be, because we would call that child abuse. And also, let's remember that in biblical times, whether you're talking the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament or the Christian scriptures of the New, everyone was presumed to be heterosexual. And so all same-gender behavior was considered against one's nature. And only about 140 years ago did the notion of sexual orientation first get mentioned, and that a certain minority of us would be oriented towards people of the same gender rather than the opposite gender. So you can't take a modern concept like homosexuality or homosexual orientation and plug it back into an ancient text like Scripture and assume that we're talking about the same thing. And so our context has changed. And remember that at the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, there is much that I would teach you, but you cannot bear it right now. So I will send the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all truth. And I think he was saying to the disciples, look, for a bunch of rough, uneducated fishermen, you haven't done too badly. In fact, I'm really proud of you. But don't think that God is done with you, and don't think that God is done revealing God's self to those who follow you. And I think we have seen, we use Scripture for how many centuries to justify slavery? Some people still use Scripture to subjugate and denigrate women. And we have certainly used these few Scripture verses out of the entire Bible to condemn gay and lesbian people. And so I would say that the question before us is, could it be the Holy Spirit who is leading us in a further self-revelation of God to be in a new place about gay and lesbian people?
Well, and this raises the question of, can you pick and choose Scripture, though? I mean, are you sort of picking and choosing the Scripture that works for you?
Well, let's be honest. We all do that. Right. I mean, you never hear Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson quoting the Gospel of Luke, which says, if you want to be Jesus is saying, if you want to be a follower of mine, you must give up all your possessions. So, look, we even those who claim to read Scripture plain and simple are picking and choosing, which is why I think the community of the church or the synagogue is so important, because none of us can trust ourselves not to be hearing what we want to hear rather than what's there. And so we need a community of people like Rich, really, who is asking the question, is this really what it's saying? And are we really following what's there?
Well, and Rich, I'm glad you called. Again, this is an issue that Bishop Robinson definitely writes a lot about in the book. So thank you for joining us. And let's go to Moultonboro next, where David's waiting. Hi, David. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I grew up, I'm a confirmed Episcopalian. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, David. Go
Congratulations.
Ahead.
Congratulations.
I'm a confirmed Episcopalian, and I grew up in the Midwest, and the sad truth and a source of embarrassment for my whole life has been that my two favorite priests that I was highly involved in with in the youth group and choir and such were later came out of the closet and were completely ostracized by my church and kicked out.
Wow.
And embarrassed. And I've never been so proud as to be a part of, you know, to be here and know that you have been confirmed and accepted and embraced regardless of your sexual orientation. And I guess the principal question I have, and I've always felt this inside to be true, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it, isn't that if you had to distill Jesus's message to one or two basic things, it's the acceptance of everyone and the love for everyone. And that seems to permeate most of the lessons that I learned of Jesus' teaching. Is that not sort of fair?
You know, David, this is a good question, too. So Rich asked about the Old Testament. Here's David asking another great question. Thank you, David. About the New Testament. You know, the old WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. What do you say in the book about the New Testament and Christianity's writings on this?
Well, and I think Jesus is clearly in the Hebrew Scriptures tradition. I mean, that was his Bible, right? The Hebrew Scriptures. And I actually think the message is the same, which is, well, it's the title of my book, God Believes in Love. And in the first letter of John, we have what I think is central. And it says, where love is, there is God also. And I think that's why our attitudes about gay marriage are changing, because people have seen the love between two people of the same gender. They've seen the love in our families with our children and our grandchildren. And indeed, if you did have to boil the whole Bible down to one thing, that would be it. That, we fall short and God loves us anyway. That's what Scripture is there to proclaim. And so if Scripture says where love is, there God is also, then how could we be against two people who love each other so deeply? And I am so proud of my church, the Episcopal Church, that really has embraced that and really gone against the grain to say, you know what, God loves every one of God's children. No holds barred.
Again, our phone number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Today in the Exchange, the guest is New Hampshire Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson. We're talking specifically about his new book, God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage. The number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You know, Bishop Robinson, you address other questions in the book, not just the theological questions that we've talked about, the New and Old Testament, but those you say that you get all the time from other people. And here's a big one. Why aren't civil unions enough?
Well, when your partner has been in a car accident and is in the emergency room bleeding to death, and you want to see him, that is not the time to start educating the nursing staff on what rights are available with a civil union. Each state is different. They change. There's just no common understanding of what that means. But if you walk into the emergency room and say, I want to see my husband, we're married, everybody knows what that means. Or take kids in a daycare center and they've got two dads or two moms. Imagine that kid trying to explain to his or her friends what a civil union is. I mean, adults can't even explain that, right? But if you say, oh, my dads are married or my moms are married, everybody knows what that means. And it really is about the kind of respect and support for gay families that the society has an interest in, because it makes for a stable and good society. And marriage is the institution through which we do that. And let's remember that marriage is a is a civil institution. I mean, if your marriage falls apart and you want to get a divorce, you don't go back to the little sweet little church where you got married. You go to the courts. And so it seems to me that society and government has a stake in supporting long-term, committed, stable families.
Well, and when you and your partner got a civil union, before gay marriage came to New Hampshire, you used to say, we got unionized.
Exactly.
Which didn't sound quite right.
There's not even language about it, right?
Well, what about the idea, though, Bishop Robinson, that if you open up marriage to a new form of marriage, that you're then, some might be tempted to push the boundaries even further, you know, a return to polygamy, for example, or marriages between an adult and a child. Now, you know, you may say, well, that's ridiculous, but we have heard from callers before concern that, gosh, if you open the boundary here, you're going to push it even further into something that, you know, would really be upsetting to many people.
Well, you know, we're not tossing all of our values to the wind. No one, and it just astounds me that people worry about this because I have been so in the center of the Safe Church movement to make our churches safe, especially for children, and no one is arguing for an adult-child relationship. We're talking about two mutually consenting adults and people who are able to give meaningful consent. You know, it's always been possible to talk about multi-person marriages, but we have consistently. I mean, you know, I think it's hard enough to be in a relationship with one person, right? That intimately and that personally, and I can't imagine more than one. No one is arguing for that.
Let's take another call. This is Joan waiting in Exeter. Go ahead, Joan. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Laura. I
sure.
love your show.
Good.
I just had a couple of comments. I really love Bishop Robinson's name of the book, God Believes in Love, because I think that is so true. But my understanding is that God reaches us where we are. So no matter what you are, he's going to love you. But once you become a Christian, you say, okay, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then there's some transformation that needs to take place, so the old self needs to be left aside. Now, I think that, personally, that, you know, homosexuality is a sin. I hate even saying that. I always feel persecuted. I feel like I can't say anything like that in public anymore because there's something wrong with me. But, you know, just like, you know, jealousy and, you know, talking about other people, those are all sins. So if we have these issues, then it's something that we struggle with our whole life, no matter what it is. Homosexuality is no worse than, you know, being a gossip in my book. You know, they're all sins in the eyes of God, and I think in the Bible it shows the Samaritan at the well, Paul, Mary Magdalene, Jesus accepted them where they were, but he said, hey, now you need to change and follow me and change your life.
Okay, and Joan, sorry to cut you off there. Thank you for the call. We're going to address your point after a very short break. So thanks for being with us. You can call us, too, after that short break. The number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. More with Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson coming up.
It's NHPR's fundraiser, NHPR, New Hampshire Public Radio. Radio made right here in the Granite State for Granite Staters. Of course, we do carry programs we don't make, like All Things Considered Morning Edition Here and Now, Radio Lab. But being New Hampshire Public Radio means serving Granite Staters, which means making radio right here in the state. The Exchange is a great example of that, what public radio New Hampshire style sounds like.
And what do you think the implication is? I mean, this is sort of the big question overhanging this whole thing. What's the implication of not having a civically educated society?
I think it's hard.
How does that play out?
I think it's hard to run a democracy unless you've got effectively run a democracy, participate in a democracy, which requires participation by definition, if you don't understand what in the world it is you're participating in. And
NHPR is a community of radio makers and radio listeners. You tune in to be entertained, informed, and inspired, and your membership makes New Hampshire Public Radio possible. Here's how you can help.
You can make a pledge online at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. As you just heard, we're listening to Radio Made in the Granite State. I'm Sarah Ashworth here with Keith Shields, the executive producer of The Exchange, and we're asking you to help contribute to NHPR's short winter fund drive. Fund drives like this short one are essential to maintaining NHPR's strong financial foundation. It's upon that foundation that we build all the great programs you love, like The Exchange. And your participation in this drive is so essential to making this drive a success. So our goal today is $50,000, and we have raised $11,500 so far toward that goal. When we're successful today, we'll make up some ground and end the year strong. And when NHPR stays strong, so do all the programs coming out of your radio. So make your pledge at nhpr.org.
And what Sarah said is correct. Your donations go directly into supporting a show like The Exchange. Great conversations like the one we're listening to right now with Bishop Gene Robinson. I mean, we run the gamut of New Hampshire life. Today, it's tough conversations, tough talk about gay marriage in the church. Recently, we did a show about wind power that got so much response. It was the top visited story of our website. And also recently, in response to all that was going on in the Middle East, we had a roundtable of New Hampshire's Israelis and Palestinians talking openly about what was happening a half a world away. And I heard so much about that show, Sarah. You know, it was really difficult to listen to because there were times people were really speaking from the heart. But as we mentioned on the show, isn't it great that people on real opposite sides of an issue can come together in one studio and have a difficult but safe and open conversation? That's where your support has gone to in the past and will go to in the future when you give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
And when you make a pledge right now, we know in a sense that you're voting for The Exchange. You're saying, this program matters to me, this program is important, and I'm going to support it. And when you do today, when you make a pledge at the $60 level or the $120 level, you will be entered in today's drawing. It's for two iPad minis. One winner will receive two minis. One is white and one is black. These mini iPads are half the weight of a traditional iPad. They can still run all the same apps. You can do video chatting on them. They're a little bit easier to tuck into a bag or a purse, though, I suspect. You can be entered in that drawing today. It's a big one for these two iPad minis. Make a pledge at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
And you're supporting what many call the most intimate medium, radio, at its most basic level. It's a conversation between two or three people. And if done well, you know, you feel a big part of it. You know, many times you're just a listener, and other times you feel the need to put your two cents in. And that's one of the reasons why we started The Exchange. So you could put your two cents in about New Hampshire news and about New Hampshire going on, make a comment about the issues that affect the state. You know, we always say on The Exchange that it's the callers and emails that elevate a good show to a great show. And it's the same thing with the callers every day when they call in to support New Hampshire Public Radio. They support the programming. They elevate the programming. So give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. And thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the New Hampshire Community Loan Fund, celebrating the first 100 resident-owned manufactured housing communities in New Hampshire, communityloanfund.org. And Burke Jewelers in Nashua, a family company spanning four generations and 103 years, specializing in custom jewelry design, fine estate jewelry, and repair, 89 West Pearl Street in Nashua. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, New Hampshire Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson is with us discussing his new book, God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage. You can join our conversation. Call in 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Bishop Robinson, real quickly, just before the break, Joan called and she said she was a Christian. She said that once you decide to follow Jesus, you have to set yourself aside. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, Joan and I agree about this, but it's what is being set aside. I don't believe God asks us to set aside who we are, but does ask us to live a life of integrity. So all of those other things you mentioned about jealousy and so on, yeah, every follower of Christ, every person who believes in God of whatever faith, I believe, is called to a life of integrity, of increasing selflessness. I think God calls our relationships to be full of integrity and love and care. I mean, what is so great about marriage is that it is the institution that encourages us to begin to love another person even more than we love ourselves. And if anything reflects God's nature, it's that. So I don't believe God calls us to set aside and be transformed by changing who we are, but how we are in relationship to other people.
Yeah, and that's another theme in the book is the power of marriage, both in the just in the personal human sense, but also that it is you feel, and this is why you got involved, it's a question of faith. It's a question of spirituality. It isn't
That's right.
just...
And it's why it's so important to gay and lesbian couples. This is the institution that has always asked for the best of us in our relationships.
Let's take another call if we could. This is Paul waiting in Exeter. Hi, Paul. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. I guess I'm calling in reaction to my fellow townsfolk there in Exeter in this idea that, and I wanted to ask Bishop Robinson, you know, to what extent does this idea that homosexuality is a sin allow good and righteous people like Joan, who professes Christ, to nevertheless discriminate against gay people and gay Christians because she views us as a sin, as sinners, and so it seems to me it's a lot easier to discriminate people when there's something wrong with them. I myself don't view myself as a sinner other than the fact that I'm jealous and I gossip and I eat too much and I confess all the other regular sins that Christians now suffer with, you know? But the fact that I'm gay doesn't make me a sinner.
Paul, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you go to church or belong to a faith tradition?
Yeah, I'm an Episcopalian, as a matter of fact, and I agree with the bishop. I couldn't be prouder to be of the Anglican tradition.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your call, Paul.
Paul, you're absolutely right. And that is why religion is at the center of this debate, is that somehow we have let those seven small passages in Scripture encourage us to discriminate against and feel ill-willed towards people who have a homosexual orientation. And I think, again, we have to look at Scripture on the whole in which, like God and mirroring God, we need to love all of God's children. And it's going to take religious people to undo the harm that religion has done to LGBT people.
Let's take another call, Paul. Thanks for that one. Mary's in Winchester. Hi, Mary. You're on The Exchange with Bishop Robinson.
Hi. Good morning. I appreciate it. I know there's a lot happening this morning, so thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to affirm, again, Jean's mention earlier of the way that these issues are affecting our young people. I do a lot of work in schools, particularly high schools and middle schools across New Hampshire and Vermont, around issues of school climate and school community. And the issue of homophobia and the lack of understanding of the issues that, you know, young GLBT folks are facing is we just can't understate the importance of us as adults, whether we're heterosexual or whether we identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, to really reach out to our young people. Because aside from the homeless rate being so high, we also have a very high suicide rate. And so I just want to, again, thank Jean for speaking out and being at the forefront of that in the conversation, because it's an issue that I think we all need to be paying attention to. And just as a quick aside, my daughter recently said to me, why do we keep talking about gay marriage, Mama? What's the big deal? So my hope is that, and she's nine, so my hope is that this coming up generation will not really see this as such a pressing concern, that they will just see this as part of the world that we live in.
Well, Mary, thanks for the call. And just in the interest of time, Jean, since we're talking about your book, Straight Talk, about gay marriage, let's address the last part of her question, this change that we've seen in public attitudes about gay marriage just in the last decade. What have you seen?
Yeah, you know, in some ways it's hard to find someone under 30 who even understands why we would be arguing about this, because they have gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender friends. But Mary is absolutely right that bullying and suicide are alive and well and living amongst our young people. And so on the one hand, we have made all this progress – on this issue in a very short period of time, as the history of civil rights movements go. And we've got kids jumping off bridges and out of windows and so on. And, kids can be unbelievably cruel to one another, and they don't need much encouragement in a negative sense to use that against one another. And bullying is a huge problem. And even though we've seen all this progress amongst young people, I will have to say we are seeing progress in every age group. Right straight through. And, we've got 50-some percent of Catholics who favor gay marriage despite the hierarchy of the church being unquestionably against it. We're seeing the movement across every age group, every racial group, every ethnic group. It's just an astounding progress we're making. And we've got kids still jumping off bridges.
The subtitle of your book, as we've been saying, Bishop Robinson, is Straight Talk About Gay Marriage. And I want to ask you about language now, something we care a lot about in the radio business. We have heard from listeners over the years when we talk about this issue that they're upset when we say gay marriage. They prefer same-sex marriage. Now, this is from folks who are on your side of the argument. They don't like the term gay marriage. They feel like it's been used pejoratively by those who oppose them. What is your thought about this choice of language? Again, the subtitle of your book is Gay Marriage.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very interesting discussion, and I think it goes to some of the nuance in all of this. First of all, it's just simply the use of the word gay. I mean, it was a big deal when the New York Times started calling us gay rather than homosexual, which is a sort of an antiseptic, a diagnostic
sounds like a disease.
Language. It does. And one of the reasons the word gay has been embraced by the gay community is that it sounds good. It sounds positive. And that's how we feel about ourselves. Interestingly enough, the movement in the gay community is more towards not talking about same-sex marriage or gay marriage, but marriage. Because gay marriage makes it sound like we're looking for something different than just marriage. And we're talking about marriage itself. I most often talk about marriage between people of the same gender.
Well, you hear people nowadays talk about marriage equality.
Exactly.
And then you hear from folks, and we've heard from them in the past, who kind of take issue with that because they feel like it compares the struggle of African Americans in this country, the civil rights struggle that went on so long. They say, look, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. And this is a really, really important issue. It is not the same thing. And I don't think you can overstate the impact of what it is like for your race to have been enslaved. I mean, there's just nothing that compares with that. On the other hand, oppressions tend to operate in the same way, with the same patterns, the same power struggles. And in that way, it is similar to the women's movement, to the movement to empower and protect people with disabilities, and also the civil rights movement of the 60s here in this country. So I think we need to be very careful in saying there are many things similar. And I always say I have learned probably more about how our movement is moving forward from the civil rights movement of the 60s than any other place.
Well, and I have one last question for you, Bishop Robinson, and I apologize because we have just a minute left. But I do want to ask you, the U.S. Supreme Court is set to review a challenge to the Defense of Marriage Act. Stepping into this debate for the first time, how are you feeling as this case approaches? Because for sure, this is going to stir things up.
It will stir things up. Here's how I think it'll go. I believe that the so-called and badly named Defense of Marriage Act will go down as unconstitutional. And I think it, it was an unusual step for conservatives who usually argue that the federal government should not intrude in states' rights to actually pass a law that says even if states have legal marriage, we won't recognize it as the federal government. I think that will be struck down. More interestingly is this Proposition 8 case coming out of California where the courts have now declared that taking away marriage from people in California is unconstitutional. They could have just let it stand, but they're taking it up. And here's what I think they'll do. I think they won't make marriage equality the law of the land, but I think they will reaffirm this case for California, reinstating marriage there. But by so doing, they will signal the rest of the country, this is coming to a theater near you.
All right. Bishop Robinson, we've got to wrap it up there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
New Hampshire Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson, his new book is God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage. Let's check in very quickly now with our Winter Fun Drive.
And give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. You can make a contribution online as well to nhpr.org. I'm Keith Shields. I'm the executive producer for The Exchange, here with Sarah Ashworth, our news director. And, you know, support programs like The Exchange, you know, as much as you know about New Hampshire, there's always something more to learn, and that's where we come in. Local guests come to the studio. Sometimes they talk about local issues and politics, and then sometimes it's someone like Ken Burns talking about a movie or maybe a conversation that we just listened to right now with Bishop Gene Robinson and about gay marriage. Sometimes we talk about national and international issues with local guests. And our thinking is, even though they may be happening 1,000 miles away, Granite Staters are still talking about it. This kind of programming is expensive to produce, and your support is vital. So go online to nhpr.org or call us at 1-888-805-6477.
And when you become a member at the $100 a month level, you're making a strong commitment to NHPR and to the New Hampshire community. You'll become a member of our leadership circle with that $100 a month level gift. But more importantly, you're helping to ensure that the quality local programming that pulls the state together stays on the air. Your donation makes a difference. Visit our secure website, nhpr.org, to join the leadership circle. You'll also get your choice of thank you gifts. But of course, as we know, the real gift is knowing that you're supporting The Exchange and NHPR. Go online now to nhpr.org.
Or call us at 1-888-805-6477, and you'll be entered for our next drawing, which is two iPad minis. There's one white and one black when you make your gift to NHPR today, day 11 of our 12 days of drawings. You could give both away. You could keep one and give one away, or maybe you want to keep both. Use one as a backup, or if you're ambidextrous, check Facebook on one and download and listen to The Exchange on the other.
That's asking a lot.
Well, people are multitaskers these days. Imagine the possibilities, though, after you make your call of support at 1-888-805-6477.
It's every year around this time that we all start thinking about New Year's resolutions. We resolve to work toward a set of goals.